This is a trying moment for all of us. It is the responsibility of the body of Christ, of the church, to be supportive in prayer and in concern of your chosen spiritual leaders. Our pastors need your prayers. They all do. But at this time, I really do want to have a special prayer for our senior pastor, the Reverend John Richter, and his family. And as many of you know, his mother, Patsy, is in a serious, serious way. And they're a quiet family. They don't share their troubles and their difficulties very much, but they need your support and your prayer. So we, as the body of Christ, and before the altar, let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, you lead us, but you appoint and anoint leaders here, on earth and in our churches. We thank you for Reverend John, for his family, for Patsy. Be with them during this trying time. Comfort them with your grace. Bless them with our love. In Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank Duke for singing Jesus, the one and only. And wasn't he wonderful? What a fabulous voice. I got chills all the way through that rendition. I said, well, we can't do it without a choir. And Duke said, well, I'll work on it. Boy, did he do a job. John's Gospel. Brian read to you from Isaiah 44, which told how ridiculous we are that we look for our idols, for our gods, in all kinds of places, all kinds of ways, and with that idiot in Isaiah 44, who cooked his meal, roasted his meat, baked his bread with the wood that he had cut, and with the wood that was left over, he carved him an idol. And then he bowed down and worshiped it. I want to tell you that that is symbolic of us today. We're choosing all the wrong idols, and many of the idols are idols of our own making. There's only one worthy of our worship. Jesus, the one and only. And John, in his gospel, tells us in the first chapter that Jesus was actually the power of God the Father, God the Creator. Jesus was the source of the energy that created all that is. He was the Word, the creative Word, the Logos, the breath of God. And then he came to us to save us, to redeem us, and to show us God's forgiveness. John, the 10th chapter about Jesus. Jesus was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, that is the Jewish people. But his own did not receive him. And then this blessed promise. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, he gives the right to be children of God. Children born, not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And that word, that creative force, that creative power of God became flesh, made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And there was a testimony before Jesus came. And it was John the Baptist. And the Apostle John tells us what John the Baptist said. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law, the Ten Commandments, was given through Moses. grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, Jesus, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Holy God, God the Father, God the Creator, we are a wandering, confused people. We cannot seek and find that which satisfies. And yet we know in our heart of hearts, in that hole in our hearts that you created, that it cannot be filled until we again affirm our faith in Jesus, the one and only. In his name we pray, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Isaiah, the mighty prophet, right there in the middle of the Bible, told us this tale about this foolish man who cooked his meat, baked his bread, and with the wood from the fire carved himself an idol and worshiped it. A parable for our time and our world. But then Isaiah, in the latter part, tells us that it's not up to us, and even if we go astray, God is going to do something to impact us, to make us aware, and to bring us back to him, to his grace, to his presence, and he's going to do it in a powerful and unique way. And when this happens, all of creation is going to be transformed. Isaiah says it this way: the wolf will then live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the lion will eat straw like an ox, and a little child will lead them. That little child was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the city of David. His name was Jesus, to transform all of creation. A day when even lions are going to get along. We can't picture in today's world anybody getting along anymore, can we? Nobody is getting along. Yellow dog Democrats and stubborn Republicans, Mideast, the West, nobody is going to get along. What about the animals? Well, the animals, the Bible says the day is going to come when they're going to be peaceful. One of my favorite cartoon characters. I have to go way, way back because I don't know any of the ones that you're talking about. Everything with him is anime. Wile E. Coyote. Now we're talking, right? Now, Wile E. Coyote, all he ever wants to do is chase. Beep, beep. The Roadrunner, right? And he'll do anything and everything. He is just driven. He wants to catch him. He wants to eat him. He wants to devour him. And yet nothing ever works out for Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote is, bam, he's hit with a huge rock. He has some TNT, a bomb in his hand. Boom, it goes off in his hand. The Acme military cannon explodes and shoots right through him. And yet, he keeps on like that idiot, worshiping an idol that he made. Wile E. Coyote just keeps on keeping on. But let's don't give a pass to the Roadrunner, because he just mocks Wile E. Coyote every time anything happens to him. And Wile E. Coyote is laying there all beaten and bruised, beep, beep, the Roadrunner's. And Sylvester the cat, he's always trying to devour Tweety Bird. What about your own cat? You ever had a cat that showed up with some feathers from its mouth or something else? I mean, animals, there's a National Geographic special that I was watching, and it was so beautiful because it showed an antelope, and it said, here is an antelope And then it cut to a shot of, and here is a lion eating an antelope. What a world. Even the animals can't get along. But Isaiah says, there's a coming, changing time. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In England, there's what's called the Glastonbury Thorn. You ever heard of the Glastonbury Thorn? Do you know the story behind it? Actually, Queen Elizabeth cannot begin, really, formally, the Christmas season until she has a sprig from the Glastonbury Thorn. According to legend and tradition, it began to sprout over 500 years ago, but it took it almost 1,000 years ago or more to really sprout because it is supposed to be from the staff of Joseph of Arimathea, from the Holy Land. Joseph of Arimathea, you remember Joseph of Arimathea? He was the one who came in the dark of the night to see Jesus, and he was the one who gave Jesus the tomb from which he rose. And Joseph of Arimathea, we know, according to history and Christian tradition, that it was Joseph of Arimathea who was one of the great missionaries as they were in those days, all of them going out to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he crossed over all of what we know as Western Europe and crossed over the English Canal, and he was the one who brought the blessings of the gospel in a spiritual way to the UK, to England, and he planted his staff. And that staff supposedly was carved from the same bush from which was carved the thorns, the crown of thorns on the head of Jesus when he was crucified. And supposedly, that Glastonbury thorn comes as a sprout, just like Isaiah says. From a stump shall spring forth a sprout. From a stump. And that stump is Israel. That stump is a nation that was what strong and great in the eyes of God and the eyes of the world. But it was cut down and all that remained was a stump. But out of that stump is going to come a sprout. And that sprout is going to be the promised one. Stump of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. And we know that Jesus was of the house and the lineage of David. These prophecies in Isaiah, they speak to us more today, perhaps, than ever before. You may be struggling right now. In our church, our hearts are heavy for our senior pastor and his family. In your family, there may be struggles and trials and problems that none of the rest of us know about. And there may be problems, serious problems, of addiction, of depression, just of bondage, infidelity, resentments. Do you remember when Brian, just moments ago, led us in the Apostles' Creed? Do you remember the second paragraph is when it talks about Jesus crucified? He died, and on the third day he rose again. What did Jesus do next? After he rose on the third day, he descended into hell. We know what he did on Friday, he was crucified. We know what he did on Sunday, he was resurrected. But on Saturday, he descended into that smelly, fiery abyss called hell. And why did he do it? because people are in bondage. And Peter, the third chapter, 1 Peter, he tells us exactly what Jesus did. He descended into hell. Why? Because he had to free the imprisoned spirits that were there. And Jesus burst into hell. He was like Rambo coming into a room of bad guys. And the demons were terrified and they scattered. And Jesus set free the imprisoned spirits. You tell me that there is any place, anywhere, any way that a person can be freed from bondage other than Jesus Christ, the one and only. That's what our country needs. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what our church needs. I want to share with you, as we begin now, to honor Christ, to experience His very presence with us through Holy Communion. There's nothing that happens to me in my life as a pastor that's more meaningful, more precious, more dear than Holy Communion. Did you know that Martin Luther, when he was ordained as a priest, his first moment as a priest was to administer Holy Communion, and he couldn't do it. He was standing there before the altar, and he was literally shaken. He was dumb. He could not speak because he was thinking of the awesomeness and the wonder of being one with Christ and knowing that Christ loved him so much that Christ died, and that in communion you are one with Christ. This is a sacred moment. I want you to bow your heads, and we're going to have a time of petition for strength, but also for confession. Oh, Almighty God, we confess before Thee our sins. Sins of commission and sins of omission. We have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Yet in Your great and divine compassion, You forgive us. And You remind us that every time we eat the bread and drink from this cup. Consecrate them now in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the ushers to come forward, and I remind you all that St. John's believes in open communion. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are invited to participate. We simply ask that children who've not gone through confirmation or not reached the age of accountability, generally we consider that to be about 11, 12 years of age, that they refrain until they are older. We also remind you that at St. John's, on the cup, the wine is on the outer circle, and on the inner circle, it's clear, and that's the grape juice in the inner circle. What we're going to do this Sunday is a little bit different, but we need to do it. Our ushers are going to distribute the bread to you, and we will take it as one body. When I say, now take and eat, and you do it at that time. But then we're going to come to the altar for the cup, and they will assist you. If you are unable to come to the altar, just remain in your pew, and they will bring the cup to you. And now hear this, that our Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took the bread, and He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, broken for you. All of you, eat of it. And as oft as you do, do it in remembrance of Me." Ministering unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I offer to you the bread of life. Go now and serve the people of God. Thank you. Take now and eat, feasting in your hearts with gratitude for such great redemption. And thank you, O Father, for the gift of the bread of life. In Christ's name. Like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of righteousness and forgiveness. This is my blood shed for you